powerful passage this morning, extremely powerful. In fact, I apologize, because the preacher shouldn't get in front of the text. And this is one where the text itself makes the statement. And it makes the challenge to all of us. So I apologize if my words demean the importance of the text, especially in this sense. Realize that all of us are confronted with the question, what do we choose? Do we choose death and sin, or do we choose life? And that's the offer of Jesus Christ. Do we choose death and sin that binds us and destroys us and allows us only to see this world as it is in its terms of its materiality and corruption? Or do we choose life, which is given to us in the Spirit, which is controlled and placed before us by a loving God who wishes us to be totally with Him, joined with Him in heaven? Now, it's interesting the way this whole passage is set up. 80% of the time when I'm preaching the homily for a funeral, I will choose this passage. But of course, it's the truncated passage. It's the confrontation of Martha and Jesus. And the reason why it's truncated, because it ends with the statement and confessional statement of Martha. You know, listen, watch how that passage is developed. As Jesus is confronted by Martha, Martha, of course, displays her grief before the Lord, kind of saying, "You were a powerful rabbi. You could have cured him if you wanted to." And then Jesus makes the statement that, "I am the resurrection and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the resurrection and the life." And then, like the big finger pointing outside of the text to every one of us, the statement is, "Do you believe this?" So when Martha is standing there, figure that Jesus is pointing a finger right through Martha to us. Do you believe this? Do you accept that fact? And then Martha, standing there in faith, gives a testimony for all of us. "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, that you're the one. You're the one who has the words of life." It's interesting when we take a look at the figure of Martha, and then there's another figure that is presented earlier in the text, both of which fall prey to getting tagged with a particular type of event. Now, when Martha is posed before us, what's the first thing we think about Martha? Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things, but only one thing's important. This is the Martha of duty. This is the Martha of responsibility. This is the Martha who suddenly goes to the Lord when all the boys come over to the house and Mary is sitting at his feet and says, "Hey, tell my sister to get in the kitchen and help me out." And Jesus, in gentility, kind of pats her on the hand and said, "Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things. Only one thing's important. And Mary has chosen that." And here we have the great confessional statement. Martha gets it. Martha gets it. It is the culmination in the person of Jesus and our total confidence and trust that's placed in Him that literally gives us life. The other figure is Didymus, Thomas the twin. And where do we remember him? We're soon going to approach Thomas in the post-resurrection narratives. And this is a brave man. Tremendously brave. The disciples are fearful about going back to Bethany because there are those that want to kill Jesus, to take his life. And what does Thomas say? Thomas says, "Let us go back with him so that we might die with him." He's willing to turn over his life. He's willing to die with Jesus. But now the question that's going to be asked of Thomas later is, not "are you willing to die with me," but "are you willing to live with me? Can you turn yourself over so that the aspect of the resurrection occurs again and again and again?" The dramatic confrontation of calling Lazarus from the tomb, there are two statements that are happening here. One, there's a tremendously powerful statement that's made in this text. And it literally pulls Jesus into all of us, all of our lives. And it's through the statement, look how much he must love Lazarus. Jesus wept. Think about the Son of God weeping. What's that a sign of? That's a sign immediately of our humanity. When we come to the professing our faith, true God and true man. He is like us in all things but sin. Here it is, his emotions for this individual who he loved, whose life was now lost. He wept. The separation. Every one of us, the tears that we experience when we lose a loved one. Real tears. Not the fact that we're missing the sense that God has gifted those individuals in our lives, but the fact that we're separated now from them. True humanity. A sense of our vulnerability. Jesus Christ, true man. And in this text, then, is the affirmation of Jesus Christ, true God. Because there's the power over life that comes about through Jesus. Imagine that dramatic confrontation that must have taken place before the tomb. You imagine as he returned, people must have been coming out from all over and then kind of following him as he was going to the tomb. And then when he called for the stone to be turned back, I'm sure people had in their minds they wanted, that Jesus wanted to view him for a last time, kind of take a look at him for the last time, not realizing what was going to happen. A demonstration of the power of God over life. But don't be fooled. Lazarus died. He's not living today. He died. And every one of us will die. The power of Jesus over life is a demonstration of and a foretaste of what's going to happen as he continues the journey to Jerusalem, to go to the cross, to have literally his true man, true God, sacrifice for us on the cross so that we could once again be in a relationship with God the Father and have a life forever. Forever. But to demonstrate his power over life, he calls forth Lazarus. Imagine that scene. Lazarus, come forth. Imagine there must have been a hesitancy just that there is like now. Is he nuts? Is he crazy? Come forth to a dead man? Imagine the trembling that must have been in insides of the people as suddenly this figure came out of the tomb. He lives. But the true resurrection is yet to come. The true resurrection is yet to come in Jesus as he travels to Jerusalem. But realize, after that resurrection, every aspect of us releasing ourselves from sin and the death of this world now occurs now. It occurs when suddenly a person who is so grabbed by sin turns themselves over to Jesus and suddenly is a new life. It occurs when somebody turns away from the materiality of this world and embraces a God who is all-loving, connected to all of us, and is a new life. It occurs when suddenly those individuals who are caught by addiction turn themselves over to God and suddenly experience a new life. It's the resurrection that we see again and again and again, building into a culmination of the ultimate resurrection, which is found only in Jesus. And then when we are confronted with our own death and the choice of turning ourselves over either to the corruption of this world or turning ourselves over to a living Son of God who offers us life. Do you believe this? Says Jesus. Do you believe it? And Martha replies, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.